Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of the 12th Hour in Libertyville, Texas. Today is June 15, 2016, or it is the 11th day of the 4th month, 2020. We will start our first service today entitled, When We All Get to Heaven. Sing for one, this love, Joshua, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Joshua, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, for the day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Joshua, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the cause of life repay. When we all get to heaven, for the day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Joshua, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Joshua, we'll sing and shout the victory. One Shepherd, Part 3, we're just going to continue on with that title. We're dealing with antitypical Elijah David, playing the role, interpreting these prophecies of Ezekiel and all the prophets that have to do with these latter-day events, Isaiah and Jeremiah, and Hosea, and different ones, and Joel, and Malachi, especially Malachi. And we're in Time of Reading, Volume 2. It looks like that we're in number 4. And we're in that chapter of the dead and the living make up the whole house of Israel. Now this is very interesting, because I'm going to go right back and start all over with the beginning of that chapter. Very important. And so, one shepherd to accomplish what many couldn't do, Elijah David, and we're dealing with, like I said, Time of Greeting, Volume 2, Number 4, and we're in the text of address by the V.T. Hall of August the 30th, 1947. So we're looking at nearly 70 years ago when this message was brought forth. And I want to really bear down on this here whole house of Israel, or made up of the ancient Israel that were sanctified, and when they went into their graves, and they are to come forth in the resurrection to join the living here in these last days in the Lamb. So it says, our subject today is found in Ezekiel 37. to 39. And so it says, verses 1 to 12, Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Yahweh was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Yahweh, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Now this is, this valley is a graveyard. Graveyard for ancient Israel. Wherever the ancient Israelites were buried, that's the valley of dry bones. Okay. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Yahweh Elohim, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Yahweh. Now this son of man, notice he calls Ezekiel the son of man. And his prophecy is for these last days, and in this 12th hour that we're in, we're still looking at the fulfillment of it. And so whomever the Son of Man is that is alive interpreting these prophecies in the 12th hour, that's the one he's addressing. So this is an event that is yet in the future to take place. This vast resurrection of the whole house of Israel. And there's going to be someone on the scene, and typical Elijah preferably, is going to call them from their graves by announcing that it's time for them to be resurrected. According to Matthew 20's parable, where it says, the last shall be first, and first shall be last. The last is the steward of the vineyard. In the 12th hour, and that would be the one placed in charge of the everlasting kingdom. And so that would happen to be antitypical Elijah. Because nowhere else does it talk about a latter-day prophet that is to restore all things. Okay. So now, this antitypical Elijah that's already on the scene, his voice is speaking. He's going to know these prophecies when it comes time for them to fulfill. And that being the case, he's going to announce when it's time for the call of ancient Israel from their graves. Okay, this is very interesting. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, come from the four winds of O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now, isn't this interesting? Ezekiel was given the vision, and he actually saw this happening. He saw this fulfilled in the latter days in his vision. He actually witnessed these people coming up out of their graves, stand upon their feet, a very great army. He saw this with his own eyes and vision. But yet, it literally didn't happen in his day. Okay. But it will literally happen in our day. Then he said unto me, Son of man, are these bones are the whole house of Israel? Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Here we see how the dead are to be raised. First, the bones are gathered together, bone to bone. Next, the flesh is added, then covered with skin, and finally breath is given them. In the Genesis, we are told that Adam's body was made from clay. Then breath was put into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. By combining air with the clay, the man became a living soul. Did you ever see a potter making a potter's vessel? He has genuine clay. Clay that he can form and shape that holds together. And once he gets it all formed like he wants, then he lets it dry and harden, or he bakes it in a clean. And then he has a permanent vessel forever. Well, that's what Adam was made out of. He was made out of clay that would not dissolve or go away if it, water hit it. And so, likewise, that image in Daniel's vision, where he saw this great image that had a feet and toes as part of iron and part of clay, but the clay wouldn't cleave to the iron, but the clay would cleave to itself. But you couldn't go take mud or dirt and put water on it and make it cleave together. But you can clay. So the scriptures reveal that the resurrection is but a recreation. Man receives a new body out of the old, but in order to be the same man that once lived and died, then made alive again, he necessarily is given the former intellectual knowledge and memory of his life's experience. Truly the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. All the while they are in their graves, Ecclesiastes 9:5-6. All right, let's go into Ezekiel 37:13-14. And you shall know that I am the Yahweh when I have opened your graves, hold my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you. Now notice, Yahweh says, when I bring you back up out of your graves, I'm going to put my spirit in you. And what does Job say? But there is a spirit in man, and in the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. So, Yahweh puts his spirit in you, then he gives you the inspiration of understanding. To understand the truth aright. And you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Yahweh, have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Yahweh. Not only will he raise his people from their graves, but he will also bring them into the land of Israel. The dead to live again is indeed a miracle, but not much greater than for a worm to bury itself in the ground or to enclose itself in a cocoon or the like. Then to go in the state of the unconsciousness, change its form and become a beautiful butterfly cruising through the air instead of crawling on the ground. This and other wonders do not seem miracles because they are common daily occurrences. If in the beginning the Elohim could create the earth out of nothing, he can recreate man much easier when to start with he at least has man's bones and his intellectual knowledge of good and evil. Ezekiel 37:15-19. The word of Yahweh came again unto me. Now keep this in mind. When these prophecies start meeting their fulfillment, then this Ezekiel transfers to Elijah at the fulfillment of the prophecy. So as these prophecies fulfill in the last day with Elijah, David, as he gives you the interpretation step by step and the time frame when this is going to happen, then you can say this literally is going to happen here in the very near future. And when it does, then I can truly say the word of Yahweh came again unto me, Elijah, David. After the first part was already fulfilled, saying, moreover, thou son of man, antithetical Elijah, David, take thee one stick and write upon it. Now that moreover means in addition to what's already happened, the ancient house of Israel has been resurrected now. He said, now that you've got them resurrected, now, moreover, this is an additional thing that you have to do now with them. Take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah, the two-tribe kingdom, and for the children of Israel, his companion. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, the ten-tribe kingdom, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick. So now this Elijah David, the antithetical David, and the spirit and power of the Elijah, is going to take and join these two tribes together. In other words, he's going to point out the prophecy for this to happen. And he's going to give the time when it's supposed to happen. Okay. And they shall come one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by thee? Say unto them, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. Now, this has to happen to show that this is a one and the same event in the 144,000 coming forth, standing with the Lamb upon Mount Zion. At the same time that this happened, the 144,000 comes forth after antithetical David joins these two kingdoms together, the two tribes, the ten tribes. And once that happens, it's going to show that the 144,000, when they stand on Mount Zion's land, it's going to show that these two great kingdoms have been joined back together. And that's what calls it the whole house of Israel, when you join all 12 tribes right back together, and then they have their resurrected brethren that joins them, and this makes it the whole house of Israel. Here, we are plainly told that the two ancient kingdoms, the types. Okay. Let's back up a little bit here. And they shall be come one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by thee? Say unto them, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. Now this mine is Yahshua, but this vine that he commanded this here, his servant to, in the beginning, take the two sticks and put them together, he said they shall be one in thine hand. But once you get that done, he says, then these shall be one in mine hand as well. Showing that David and Yahshua both have in control the two sticks in one. Here we are plainly told that the two ancient kingdoms, the types, he is to restore and join and so bring out the antitype. Now, isn't this interesting? Because in our last study, before this one, it says, Elijah shall indeed come first and restore all things. Now, we're talking about the second coming of Yahshua. Well, this is the second coming of Elijah. Okay. Well, it uses that word come. Elijah shall indeed come first. And then Yahshua comes. So, the most important thing then for everyone to think about is look for this antitypical Elijah to come first. That's what the world should be looking for. They're looking for Yahshua to come. But they don't realize that his forerunner, his predecessor, his announcer has to come first, and that's antitypical Elijah. Well, when this antitypical Elijah David put these two sticks together, and then he hands them to Yahshua. And Yahshua said, now these two sticks are one in mine hand. First he tells David to take the two sticks and put them together, and he said, now there are two sticks in your hand. But then David turns around and hands them to Yahshua, sitting upon the throne there, and he says, Yahshua says, now these are two sticks in mine hand. David, the visible king, Yahshua, the invisible king. Okay. Okay, now. We're dealing with this word restore again. It says, here we are plainly told that the two ancient kingdoms, the types, he is to restore and join and so bring out the antitype. Ezekiel 37:20-21, and the sticks were on thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes, and say unto them, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. For the faithful from among the descendants of Israel that were scattered throughout the nations will, we are concretely told, be gathered and brought back into their own land. These descendants of the tribes of Jacob, we must not, however, construe to be the unbelieving Jews of today who are trying to gain possession of Palestine. For the kingdom here predicted, you note, is to be made up only of converts unto Yahshua, mostly from the tribes who were scattered and lost sight of among the Gentile nations, including the descendants of those who made up the early apostolic congregation of those who no longer call themselves Jews, but Christians. Can you imagine that? They couldn't call themselves apostolic believers in the Yahshua. No, they couldn't do that, but they could use that pagan word Christians and hook on to it so they could lose their identity so that they could escape persecution. That's the reason they did it. Okay, so the devil, he dangled a bait before their eyes, and they took a hold of it. Those early Christians. These, besides those of the Gentile nations who join Yahshua, are obviously to make up this premillennial kingdom in the promised land. Ezekiel 37:22. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. This consolation, you note, is permanent, and since there are no centers in it, it obviously, as shown elsewhere in our literature, is the result of the judgment in the house of Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17. The judgment for the living, the purification of the church, the separation of the bad fish from the good, Matthew 13:47-48. The cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14. The harvest of the first fruits, the 144,000, that stand on the Mount Zion with the Lamb, Revelation 14:1. The remnant, then follows the end gathering of the second fruit, Your knowledge of these things, though, will not benefit you if you do not make a desperate effort to be one of or one with the 144,000. You, moreover, must have this extra oil in your vessel, Matthew 25:1-12. Now, while it is so freely dispensed, to get it later will not profit you, for the late comers will find the door closed. Their knocking on the door will only cause them to hear the Master say, "Depart from me, I never knew you," Matthew 7:23. Indeed, you must immediately avail yourselves of this light-giving oil now while it is brought unto your doors, if it is to do you any good. Okay, Ezekiel 37:23. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their Elohim. After the subjects of the kingdoms of Judah and Israel are gathered from among the heathen nations, and they themselves become a nation and kingdom, then they are to be cleansed, and not before, say the scriptures. From these you see that this is the work of the cleansing of the sanctuary of Daniel 8:14. The purification of the church, Testimony Volume 5, page 80. The cleansing of the temple, Malachi 3:1-3. The harvest time, blotting out the sins and defects of the penitent, and doing away with the impenitent. It is a judgment for the living that purifies the church. It sets her apart from the world, and it fits her for the gathering of the people, Revelation 18:4. Makes her the ark for today, a place of refuge for all who wish to escape the plague. Thereafter, the saints remain clean. They sin no more. They are Elohim's clean and faithful people forevermore. There has never, therefore, come to Elohim's people a more important message than this. Ezekiel 37:24-28. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. Now I want to point out to you something again. When this antitypical David is told to take this stick of Judah and the stick of Ephraim, he's actually is to announce the prophecy for the resurrection of the whole house of Judah and the whole house of Israel, the 10 tribes. This is the resurrection. And when that happens, they are joined together in the land of Israel, where they were born to begin with. But the 144,000, the living, are gathered here in the wilderness of the people. And they're transported to the land to stand upon the Mount Zion. And then they are put in charge of the whole house of Israel that has been resurrected into that. Think about that now, folks. Let's go ahead now. It says that they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Yahweh, do sanctify Israel, and my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. So that sanctuary, that's just the, it's the temple. They have a temple in heaven. This one here on earth is a replica of that one in heaven. And David's going to be in charge of this temple forever, throughout eternity. So this is amazing, folks. We have a whole new type of life to learn about. And the only way we can do that is by His Spirit that is put within us, and by being born again and determining to be controlled by that Spirit 100%. Okay. So it says, and David my servant shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant. Now notice, whenever they observe his statutes and do them, it's not for the reason of taking away sin. Because those that enter into this kingdom, they have long been purged of their sins and iniquities are put from them, and they no longer sin. They no longer are capable of sinning. Because they have grown up to the full stature of Yahshua, they have been infused with the Holy Spirit, they have practiced establishing the ordained system of true worship here before entering into that eternal kingdom forever. And that's how they enter in, is by establishing it outside of that door of the kingdom. And then they can go in through that door and they're forever free for eternity. But right now we're in a testing time. Okay. So it says, "Where in your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them, yea, I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Yahweh, do sanctify Israel, and my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore." Okay, this is where we ended our last study. It was right here at this point. So now we can take up a new part of this study. That's within the same dead and living make Israel subject. Plainly then, all these things take place in the sight of the heathen, that they may see and know what Elohim has done for his people. Thus will they know that he has loved them. Ezekiel 38:1-2. And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of the Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Now, what is this telling us? This is telling us, Yahweh says, he appears under this antitypical David again. And now keep in mind, how is antitypical David going to know all these things? Is it going to be through just the prophecy, the written word opening up to him? Or is it going to be like Ezekiel was, have a vision? I partially believe that he's going to have visions. Okay. Gog is here said to be the chief prince, the king of Meshach and Tubal. These two cities, Meshach and Tubal, were anciently situated in Asia, south of the Black Sea, where the Turkish Empire now is. Ezekiel 38:8. After many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. The many days after which Gog is visited are the 1,000 years. The latter days in which Israel returns unto their land and the time in which Gog shall go against them are premillennial. Okay, now, who is this Gog then that goes against them? This is the vast multitudes of all the wicked, starting with the Muslims, Mystery Babylon. They make up this vast army of wicked unbelievers of all nations, Russia, and this army originates in the north. Okay, Ezekiel 38:9. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land. Thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. George Washington's vision tells us that this third woe is a cloud that comes up from Africa. Originates in Africa and it comes over the Atlantic Ocean to the United States. And it covers this land. This is a description of George Washington's vision as well. Okay, the expression to ascend and come like a storm suggests that these things are to take place in the time of the airplane. Ezekiel 38:10-12. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey. Okay, now it says to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. Now, I want to say something here. Russia is in the north. And it's been named as this Gog and Magog in times past by many different people. Keep in mind that the Muslims, Ishmaelites, represents 51% of the population of Russia. Keep that in mind. And Russia is communist. Keep that in mind. Socialism, fascism, all that. Alright, now, when it says that this here cloud comes up like a storm to cover the land, originates out of the north. I know this is a direct prophecy for the land of Israel, so let us go on. As the land of Israel shall have no visible human protection whatsoever, it will appear to God that he should have no difficulty robbing the people of the land. Ezekiel 38:13. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take as prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? These neighboring countries and people that ask Elohim to tell them his mission evidently are not allied with him. Okay, I made a big mistake here. Let's go back and reread what I just read. These neighboring countries and people that ask Gog, not Yahweh. I thought that said God, and I translated that to Yahweh, but it's Gog, to tell them his mission, evidently are not allied with him. Ezekiel 38:14-17. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding up on horses, a great company and a mighty army, and thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land, It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O God, before their eyes. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? Now, I've got a new revelation here. As we know this last year, that the Middle East has been dispelling their people out of their borders. Syria, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, all these Arab-controlled countries, which belongs to the land of Israel, they have raised up so much terrorism with this Islamic State, ISIS, that they have driven many millions of refugees out of their homes. And where have these refugees gone? They've gone into the north. Europe is directly north of the Middle East. Your European and Asia countries. Romania, my son is over there right now. It's directly straight north of the Mediterranean Sea, going toward the North Pole. It's part of Europe. So all these Muslim Ishmaelites are pouring into those northern European countries north of Israel. Now, it just so happens the reason they're pouring in there is because those European nations are sympathetic toward these Muslims and their plight. So they have agreed to bring them into their land. Now, they wish they hadn't, but they've got them. Russia has 51% population of Muslims, and so Russia's right directly north of Europe. They're on top of Europe. So here's these Muslims, they're coming into all the European nations, and they're going to represent 50% or more of their population. Those European nations have financed those Muslims in Israel to illegally inhabit and populate the large parts of Israel. And so this is what you call Gog and Magog. This is the Muslims mixing with the natives of those nations that they have migrated into. And those nations with open arms have welcomed them to come out. So what's going to happen when it comes time to come against Israel? Those nations are going to finance these Muslims to go down there, because they're really this Gog and Magog. They're the population of Gog and Magog. Russia's going to equip them, and Russia's going to send her soldiers along with them. But they're going to send they're going to bring every one of them Muslims down with them. They're going to say, well, Israel's dwelling at peace in a land with unwalled villages. My goodness, they're just sitting there, they're sitting ducks. And Russia has developed a weaponry that they can get under the radar screen. And so they can just slip right on into Israel, coming down the highway, that super highway that they built into the mountains of Israel from what they call the Himalayan Mountains. And so Russia just takes their troops and everybody just join up on that great highway. It's a super highway they built that comes to a dead end in the top of the mountains of Israel. And they had that completed by 1970, that highway, in anticipation. And the mountains, the Himalayan mountains, are catacombed. And the sides of the mountains beside the super highway, they've got caves, just caves catacombed into those mountains. And they have weaponry. They have just stored all kinds of weaponry and stuff in there. And so as they start traveling down that highway now to go to Israel, they're going to take all them Muslim immigrants that they have taken into their custody, and they're going to send them back with armament to go in and do their dirty work and overthrow Israel at last. And what's going to happen? Well, we read about it here in Ezekiel 38 as we continue to read. It says that As the land of Israel, so shall shall have no visible, as the land of Israel shall have no visible human protection whatsoever, it will appear to Gog that he should have no difficulty robbing the people of the land. Ezekiel 38:13. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, with all their young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, Art thou come to take a prey, a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy country to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? These neighboring countries and people that asked Gog to tell them his mission evidently are not allied with him. Okay, now I've done read this once before, but after telling you what I did about those Muslims, immigrants migrating into the north this past year, shows that this prophecy is getting closer to meet its fulfillment. So in Ezekiel 38:14-17, it says, Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, In that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O God, before their eyes. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants the prophets of Israel, who prophesied in those days many years that I would bring them against them? So it says, clearly, this kingdom of Israel is set up in the latter days, in the days before the millennium. For as the kingdom is set up, Gog opens war against it. Indeed, this cannot be after the millennium. For then all the nations from the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog with them, shall encompass not to the mountains of Israel, but the New Jerusalem. Furthermore, at that time the slain shall be buried, but burned to ashes. Revelation 20:9-10, Malachi 4:1. Ezekiel 38:23. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Yahweh. Ezekiel 39:1-7. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog, and say, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and where I will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. These are your Muslims, you see, that are with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field, to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field. For I have spoken it, saith Yahweh Elohim. And I will send a fire on Gog, or Magog, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Yahweh. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. And I will not let them pollute my holy name any more, and the heathen shall know that I am the Yahweh, the Holy One in Israel. So those that dwell carelessly in the isles, that don't come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, Zechariah 14, he says he's going to deal with them too. He's going to send plagues on them and punish them as well, those that stayed back home. Gog, you see, shall fail to rob Elohim's people. He will instead perish in the mountains of Israel. Okay, so he's going to perish in the mountain of Israel. Ezekiel 39:8-15. Behold, it is come, and it is done, saith Yahweh Elohim. This is the day whereof I have spoken, and they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth, and shall sit on fire, and burn the weapons, both the shield and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, and the handstays and the spears. They shall burn them with fire 7 years, so that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest. But they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoil them, and rob those that rob them, saith Yahweh Elohim. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of grace in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers, and there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of the Hamon Gog. And 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, and that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown, the day that I shall be glorified, saith Yahshua Messiah. And they shall sever out men of continual employment, passing through the land, to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth, to cleanse it. After the end of the 7 months shall they search. And the passengers that pass through the land, when they see it, the man's bone, then shall he set up his sign by it, till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamon Gog. As these verses need no comment, we pass on to Ezekiel 39:22-29. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Yahweh their Elohim, or the Yahshua their Savior, from that day and forward. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them, and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. But you know, as the 10 tribes of Israel went into captivity in the north, in the north countries, that was north of Israel, way back when the time. So now the Ishmaelites, they've gone into captivity among the north and those European nations, just like the ancient Israel did in the time. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them, and hid my face from them. Therefore thus saith the Yahweh Elohim, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name, after that they have borne their shame, and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwell safely in their land, and none have made them afraid, when I have brought them again from the people, and gather them out of their enemies' lands, and have sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I, the Yahweh, their Elohim, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen, that I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, says Yahweh Elohim. I do not know of any chapters in the Bible that are more explicit than these chapters of Ezekiel. They need no interpretation whatsoever, but in spite of it, the denomination ignores them as though they were not in the Bible. And even now, rather than teaching the soon fulfillment of these chapters, the setting up of the kingdom, the ministers are doing all they can to confuse the laity, and to enshroud the scriptures in mystery. So there is evidence upon evidence that the angel of the church of the Laodicean, last but not least applied unto the last angel in charge of the candlestick of Laodicean, that was Willis Johnson, is blind and yet know it not. Now at this crossroad, the eternal destiny of all Yahweh's servants is to be settled. Now they must take either the step that Paul was forced to take on the way to Damascus, or the step that Judas took in the upper room after the master washed his feet. This is, you see, not man's talk. It is Elohim, the Bible. You are now given the opportunity to be a Daniel, a Job, a Stephen, a Luther, a Miller, or a White. I hope that none of you choose to be a scribe or a Pharisee. They were geniuses to find fault, but too stupid to see the truth. Such, you know, have never led anyone into the truth, but have ever kept even whole nations away from it. They are geniuses at their wicked profession. Okay, that pretty well brings us to the end of that study, number four of Time of Reading. We have a poem here that ends the study. The cloud, the cloud and fire. As of old, when the host of Israel were compelled in the wilderness to dwell, trusting they in their Elohim to lead the way to the light of the perfect day. To and fro. Okay, let's try this poem again. The cloud and fire. As of old, when the host of Israel were compelled in the wilderness to dwell, trusting they in their Elohim to lead the way to the light of the perfect day, to and fro as a ship without a sail, not a compass to guide them through the veil, but the sign of their Elohim was ever near, thus their fainting hearts to cheer. All the days of their wanderings they were fed, to the land of the promise they were led. By the hand of Yahweh and guidance sure, they were brought to Canaan's shore. So the sign of the fire by night and the sign of the cloud by day, hovering o'er just before, as they journey on their way, shall a guide and a leader be, till the wilderness be passed, for the Yahweh our Elohim, in his own good time, shall lead to the light at last. C.A. Miles wrote that. Very good. Well, this brings to the close of our study this time. Contact us at the 11th hour, call us number 11, click on the audio archive. We will close now with a song. This brings to the end of our study this hour. You can contact us at the 11th hour, call. I've always done that, it looks like. We're going to close this service with a song that I've written entitled, The Soul Keeper. If today you're feeling low and you don't know where to go, make your mind your trouble and stop wherever you go. Just set yourself on the highway to you, to stand at the stars and the beat. If you're slow, then so keep your head up. I'm going to the sky. I'm going to the sky.
Amen.